April 16th, 2021. We're in Masechet Sanhedrin and Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. If you count 22 lines from the bottom, the first word on the line is Nema. Very briefly, the context. The context is a mahloket, a dispute between Abaye and Rava. Right, Eddie? We're dealing with the circumstance of Mumar Ha'ochel Nevelot Lehach'is, which means to say, there's an individual, not because it's cheaper, but rather because he says, to heck with this Torah establishment and book and tradition. I'd rather eat non-kosher meat on a consistent basis without any fear of repercussions or the ramifications and so forth. That's the individual. Is he now pasul or kasher le'edut? Can he testify or not? The statement of Abaye is absolutely not. He's a rasha. Al tashet yadecha im rasha liot et hamas. The rasha is al tashet rasha ed. He can't be a witness. He has publicly, in a certain sense, he's a desecrator. He can't be the witness. Says Rava, wait a second. This is not financially, monetarily, personally inspired. This is an individual who's doing it l'hachis. So we fear his relationship with God. It doesn't mean he's not an honest person. It's not what we call a rasha' de Hamas, and as a result, he can be accepted in the court of law. What's that? Yeah, what do you want me to tell you? Abraham now?
No,
it's a question
on the
Rava. Rava says the only thing that's invalidated is specifically if we suspect you for rasha' de Hamas. Says the Gemara, Nema ketana'e. Should we perhaps suggest this mahloket is really predicated upon, it's built upon an earlier mahloket between Tanaim, between rabbis from time of Mishnah and Beraita. How so? Ed zomem lechol haTorah kula. Excuse me. Thank you. Ed zomem pasul lechol haTorah kula. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yose omer ba medvarim amurim shehuzam b'dinei nefashot val huzam b'dinei mamonot. Kasher le dine mamonot nefashot. Uli, wording's off. I don't know. Anyway, says the Beraita. There's a mahloker between Bimeir and Biyose. What is the mahloker about? It's about an individual who is an edzomem. Edzomem. We're gonna just very basically translate. We've done it twice in the last 2 days already. It's a person who is found to be a false witness. Now, in what context was he found to be testifying falsely? He was found in the context of, let's say, dine mamonot, only in financial matters. Is that individual now kosher to testify in dine nefashot, on the higher level matter? Now, if he was found in the higher level matter, in life or death circumstances, he was falsely testifying, we say, this guy's not trustworthy. Even in the most severe of cases, he's testifying falsely. We're not going to admit him for a lower level case either. I mean, this guy clearly has no fear of the court system. Hang on. Everybody will agree to that, right? That's the opinion of everyone, of both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yose. The question, the mahlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yose is, if he's only caught falsely testifying on the lower level, will we say, huzam ledavar hakal is huzam ledavar hamur? If we found him to be false on one matter, on the lower level matter, do we invalidate him for the higher one as well?
The fact that he's being an edzomen, though, on Dinei Nefashot, for example, even though it's a greater case, it's not Ed Hamas at the end of the day, according to how we're interpreting Rasha. So why should everybody, so to speak, I understand it, but why should everybody say, blank check, the guy is okay to be a witness in capital case, in financial cases? Whereas in the other way, where he's a Ed Zomem in monetary cases, he's an Ed Hamas at that point, there should be no question at all.
It's a great question. It appears as if edut on dinei nefashot, when you're lying, trumps even ed de Hamas. In other words, the fact that you were willing to do that, you know, using Sammy's words, shows you really lack any yirat shamayim. It's got to be something along those lines. But point taken in terms of that question. Says the Gemara over here, perhaps this mahlok between Bimeir and Biyose is the same mahloket as Abaye and Rava. How so? Nema Abaye kir Bimeir. Abaye, our first opinion that we presented, who says that you're pasul if you're a mumar ha'ochel nevelo lehach'is, he would go like Rabbi Meir, the first opinion in the Beraita. V'rava kir Biyose. How so? Abaye kir Bimeir de amar amrinan mikula lehumra. Abaye says, if you are found to be not false, not problematic in the context of dine mamonot, we found you problematic in the context of your relationship with God and only with God. Why? Because you're eating that meat Not in order to rip off someone else, not even in order to make an extra buck. What's your purpose in doing so? You have a fight with God, so to speak, right? That we're going to call a davar kal. I know it's hard to accept it as such, but it means you're not affecting a human being as well. Well, if you did that wrongfully, says Abaye, we accept as well that even on the more hamur matter, when you're testifying about someone else, falsely testifying to God and about someone's money, we call that a davar hamur, you're false, you're invalidated as well. That's going from davar kal, just affecting one being, God, to a davar hamur, to a larger circumstance where you're affecting two beings, the person in the court case and God. Well, that being the case, Rabbi Meir would directly align with Abaye. Rabbi Meir says if you falsely testified in financial matters, lower level, you're also invalidated for higher level matters. That's our Abaye, is it not? Says the Gemara, Veravada Amar Kirbiose, Ravahu disagreed and said, wait a second, you're affecting your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by eating nevelot lehachiz. That's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going to extend that to matters which, quote-unquote, are greater and grander because you're affecting not only your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but another person as well. We don't extend it. He is like Rabbi Yose. That second opinion, what did Rabbi Yose say? Rabbi Yose said, if you falsely testified in Dinei Mamonot, if you're Huzam in Dinei Mamonot, we don't invalidate you in Dinei Nefashot. De'amar mihumra lekula amrinan. From Nefashot down to Mamonot, everybody agrees, will invalidate mikula lechumra la'amrinan. That's the Gemara's suggestion to be tole, to say that these two mahlokot are dependent one upon the other. Says Gemara, lo, no, bad tilia, bad suggestion. Why so? Alibadir biyose kule ama la pelige. The second opinion, that of Rabbi Yose, who says mikula lehumra la amrinan, that certainly only aligns with our opinion of Rava. You can't argue differently. Abaye can't squeeze himself into the opinion of Rabbi Yose. Again, Rabbi Yose, who says if you're huzam in dinei mamonot, it doesn't extend further to dinei nefashot, he won't fit with Abaye. He just can't fit with Abaye. Abaye is very expansive. He says, you struck out once, we struck you out twice and three times, hey, you're out. That's not a Rabbi Yose opinion. The question is, Alibad Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, who in the context of dinei nefashot, dinei mamonot, says, if you're invalidated in dinei mamonot, we knock you out in dinei nefashot as well, right? And the financial knocks you out, invalidates you for dinei nefashot as well. Says the Gemara, maybe Rava could squeeze himself, his opinion, even into the opinion of Rabbi Meir. How so? Well, it goes like this. We have two ways of determining severity and lightness. How so? Number one, dinei nefashot versus dinei mamonot. Everybody knows. Life and death is more severe than financial matters. Well, everybody agrees to that, right? The second consideration, though, is who are you affecting? That's what we've been discussing until now. In tandem, are you affecting only God, I hate to say it like that, or God and a human being or human beings as well? That's the difference. The second one, where it's God and human beings, is more severe. In the circumstance of the court case, which Rabbi Meir was talking about, nefashot, mamonot. We put mamonot on the bottom, we put nefashot on the top. Finances down here, life and death up here. Made a lot of sense. Says Rava, maybe we need to broaden our vision a little bit. You're right. In the verdict, if it's life or death or money, one's a little bit more awe-inspiring, you're killing someone. But who's it affecting? Dinei nefashot is affecting a person. Dinei mamonot is affecting a person and God as well. In other words, in these circumstances, hang on one second. In these circumstances, says the Gemara, see it out in the Gemara, ki pilige alibadir bimeir, abayekir bimeir, verava amar adkan laka amar bimeir hatame lagabe edzomem de mamon dera la shamayim vera la beriot, aval hacha dera la shamayim ve'en ra la beriot. Lo, says the Gemara, in our circumstance, in this situation, where we're dealing with something altogether different. How are we dealing with something altogether different? What we're dealing with in these two circumstances, let me gather this. I hear you, Charlie. Let me gather this one more time, how the Gemara is doing this. Rabbi Meir is talking about, in a circumstance, Ad kan laka amar Rabbi Meir hatam el gabe ed zomem demamon, in the circumstance of Ed Zomem in financial matters, Ra'la Shamayim v'Ra'la Beriot, he is considered, it's the opposite, right? In the circumstance of Rabbi Meir, Hazar HaKab, sorry. In the circumstance of Rabbi Meir, where he's dealing with, he, Rabbi Meir, invalidates you, even if you testified only falsely about a financial matter, he invalidates you as well to Dinei Nefashot. Think about that circumstance. When you testified falsely about a financial matter, who were you, quote-unquote, baddening? Who were you doing bad? Both, Lashamayim Vilabiriot. You were being evil, both to God with the false testimony and to the person whose money you were taking. We look at that as, not equal, but almost equal to Dinei Nefashot. You're affecting two beings. Over there, Rabbi Meir will be expensive. If over there to be Meir will say, you struck out on this, you struck out on both. In my circumstance, says Rava, what's my circumstance? Did you affect anyone?
Lachis, only one.
It was Lachis. It's only God. As a result, he says, I can fit in even to Rabbi Meir. My circumstance, you actually didn't affect another. You were talking too gray. You were talking not precisely enough until now. You were assuming Dinei Nefashot is parallel to Ra LaShamayim VeRa LaBeriot. Dinei Mamonot is only Ra LaShamayim, to use those words. You're not really talking precisely enough, because you have to look at the particulars of Rabbi Meir's case. Rabbi Meir's case is even the Dinei Mamonot, which is lower, the financial circumstances affecting two beings, both human beings and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in turn, to equate these two, not so simple. I therefore can say, Aval Hacha, in my circumstance, Rala Shamayim, where you ate, but you didn't affect anyone other than your relationship with God. Ve'enra lebiriot lo. That's the Gemara's suggestion. So again, to summarize it without the
particular.
So says Rava, maybe I could fit in with Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir would even agree to me that Mumar Alchen Nevelot Lehachis is kosher. Why is he kosher? Rabbi Meir says we go Mikula Lehumra from Dinei Mamonot to Dinei Nefashot. He said it over there because Dinei Mamonot was more hamur than you gave it credit for. You said it was just a financial thing. It was a financial thing, but he's affecting two beings. That's different than my circumstance. My circumstance, all he did, again, excuse me for saying, all he did was enter into McDonald's and eat a cheeseburger. He didn't affect you or him or anyone else.
Abaye wouldn't agree to that.
Of course not. Abaye says, Rabbi Meir is mine, and Rabbi Yosef is yours, and let's call it a day. Rava says, you took Rabbi Meir for yourself. Come on, that's not fair. He can fit in with me. Hilchita says the Gemara, Kavateda Abaye Shema Yisrael. I don't understand that. Well, let me understand. Just yesterday, one of the last lines we learned was Tiyuvta de Abaye Tiyuvta. That's called TKO. He's done. He's out. Now today, we have Mahlok between Bimeir Biyose. We say, okay, maybe we can neatly fit it in. No, Rava flexes his muscles and Rava says, I can fit in with both. Abaye, you could take Joseph Bimeir if you want him. And then we conclude by saying, Halachas like Abaye. It's a very shocking line. Not expecting this. This is not something that we saw coming. Says the Gemara onward, asks the Gemara, V'ha itotav, itotav, tiyuvta. Didn't we respond to him? Didn't we knock him out? Says the Gemara, Hahi Rabbi Yosehi. The Beraita yesterday from which we asked, if you remember, it was Malver Beit, which we were asking on Abaye. Remember the Beraita said, who is an Id de Hamas, Hagazlanim? And Malver Beit, it's people who lend on interest and have stolen. They're the ones who are invalid. It was, Tiyuvta d'Abaye, Abaye, why doesn't it talk more expansively? Why doesn't it talk about someone who just violates his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why only in interpersonal matters? Clearly, it's like Rava. That was our Tiyuvta. Says Gemara, that might follow, Abaye will tell you, the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. My guy is Rabbi Meir. I got my guy, you got your guy. Don't ask me a question from your guy. Says the Gemara, okay, and let's say it was only Rabbi Meir, Hahi Rabbi Yosehi, Vetehavena Meir Yosef. So I said, okay, so maybe the Beraita you knocked him out with yesterday was a Rabbi Yosef Beraita. What's the halacha when you have a mahlok between Rabbi Meir and Yosef? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosef halacha? Rabbi Yosef! So if the halacha follows Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef Abaye admitted doesn't follow his opinion, and we saw a beraita. We were asking on him. Again, I walk into the midrash and I make a statement. You say, what are you talking about? You take out a book, you say, look at this book. The book says differently than you, Rabbi. I say, it's just that book. I got this book. So he said, but Rabbi, this book is the Sephardic book. You're holding the Ashkenaz book. What'd you gain by telling me? Very nice. So that's the one you follow? Halacha Kirbi Yosef over here, says the Gemara. Very nice. You didn't defend yourself by saying it's a different one. We don't follow him. Shane Hatam, says the Gemara. Shone Sham. That case is different. This case is different. The Satam Lantana Kirbi Meir. This is an exceptional circumstance. What do you mean exceptional circumstance? In general, it is so that we follow the Biyoseh over the Bimeir. However, Mishnayot and Beraitot are written in interesting ways. The author, the editor, Bihuda HaNasir, would write them in particular fashions, as I've told you in the past. Sometimes he mentions a majority view. And we imagine this whole assembly, a room filled with people, and they're fighting against one guy on the other side. It's a crazy scene. I've told you many times, it's not what it means most of the time. It usually means one against one. But we want you to know halakha's like that one, so we call it hachamim. We call it the majority view. So you say, okay, that's the halakha. Furthermore, there's another way that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had to get across who he believed was the halakha. He would be sotem, which means to say he wouldn't mention the name. He would just say, this is kosher. And Rabbi Yosef disagrees. Once you told me this is kosher, and Rabbi Yosef disagrees, or over here, this is pasul, and Rabbi Yosef disagrees. What do you mean? What's the this is? You know, the assumption is that's the halakha. Now, if that this is statement is the Rabbi Meir opinion, we know the halakha is like Rabbi Meir, something not like Rabbi Meir. In other words, if I walk into the class for argument's sake, I give you too much information, you get angry at me. So, I'm going to do this very clean, very smart. I'm going to walk in, I won't mention names. I'll just say, and the halakha is like this. And you should know this guy disagrees. I started off, I said, the halakha is like this. That's it, I had you. I'm going to tell you afterwards, you know who actually says that? And now you're going to raise your eyebrow. I skipped that. And by leaving out the name, you say halakha is like that. That's called setam mishnah, setam beraita. We are going to, over the course of a little bit, find out where there's a stam beraita or a stam mishnah in which Rabbi Meir is the stam. He's the opinion we're working with. Once you say he's the opinion we're working with, we didn't even mention his name. Clearly the halakha is like him, even though in general, Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda halakha ke Rabbi Yosef. We're going to have a stam mishnah like Rabbi Yosef, which in turn is going to tell us that halakha is like, like Rabbi Meir, halakha is like Abaye. That's how we're going to end this. Okay, where is this stam mishnah? We haven't found this stam mishnah.
Abaye and Rabba bring down the Rabbi Yosef and the Rabbi Meir. And at the end of the day, halakha is like Rabbi Yosef. And then at the end of the day, halakha is little.
Because we're going to say that over here, the halakha is not like Rabbi Yosef. 99% of the time, it's like Rabbi Yosef. You understand, when the whole sugya finishes, we're going to have some ironic stuff. Even though in general, halakha is like Rabbi Yosef, over here, halakha is like Rabbi Meir. Even though in general, halakha is like Rava, halakha over here is like Abaye. That's going to be the ironic twist. Okay, where is this setam mishnah, stam beraita that we have? Being posek halakha like Rabbi Meir, v'hecha satamlan, 7 lines from the bottom, where is it? Hecha, where? Satamlan, seta means to make it plain, without mentioning the name. Where do you have a mishnah in which the name of Rabbi Meir is not listed, which makes us understand the halakha is like him? We don't want to confuse you, we want to make it clear. Halakha is like him. Here it is. It starts with a small story. Kiha de barhama katal nafsha. There was a fellow, Barhama. We don't even know his first name. We don't refer to him as first name. The son of Hama.
Yeah. I can see the halakha going like Abaye and the Rabbi Meir. Why? Once a liar, always a liar.
You're giving the logic. You're giving the logic. We need to work within a system. Even though we always want to unravel and understand the logic, we need to work within the system. The system has certain rules. Logic sometimes will not be the winning factor in halakha, right? You have to have a strength within the system and a logic that underbellies you. But just making that claim isn't enough, is what I'm telling. The Gemara tells us that. Says the Gemara, here it is. Kiha de Barhama katel nafsha. This fellow, Barhama, kills a person, allegedly. Amar le resh galuta, the resh galut of the time, was the head rabbi in the neighborhood, says to, or in the state, and says to le Rav Abba bar Yaakov, pok ayen ba. Go look into this matter. Go see what happened over here. They're saying Bar Hama killed. Ivadai katal, if he certainly killed, in other words, murdered, this is called cold-blooded killing, le kayuhu le'ene, literally means blind him. And blind him. Kill him. A death penalty for killing. What are you blinding him? Says Rashi, one of three interpretations to what's going on over here and why it's going on. Number one, this is after the time when we're able to put to death. It's after Batil Arba Mitot Betin. After destruction of the Mikdash, we had a time period during which we extended. We were still putting people to death. This is at the time period, the Gemara tells us about this in several places, we stopped putting people to death. I said, what are you doing? So you're blinding in place of that. Blinding in place of killing, says Rashi. Yeah, that's right. The halakha is that the rabbis have the ability to override Torah with kinasot. They're allowed to penalize people based on their definitions of penalties, even maiming them, even ruining their body parts by blinding them. That's a shocking statement. As a matter of fact, there's a book written by a Professor Simcha Asaf. It's called Ha'onashim Le'achar Hatimat HaTalmud. In it, he details not the punishments after the end of Beit Din that killed. In them, he details from the Rishonim, from our traditional books, the punishments that were leveled in the time of the Geonim, in the time of the Rishonim. We always imagine we lost jurisdiction, we lost the ability to adjudicate. We weren't doing it. Another government was still giving us permission to do things. We were still maiming people. We were still doing things like that for hundreds of years.
Bedin kills someone. Bedin, they branded Bedin Katala.
And yet we killed people. What do you want me to tell you, Sam? Yes. Anyway, so that's what Rashi writes. Rashi says his first interpretation is that they're actually blinding. Ran Rabbeinu Nisim and his Hidushim gets very nervous about Rashi. So what are you talking about? Do you know what you need in order to bring forth your own kinasot? You need the highest level of judges. You need a higher level of judges than those who put to death. Put to death, you're just following the Torah. Okay, you need high level judges for a death penalty. To do something which the Torah didn't instruct, but you determined is okay, the Gemara makes clear you need the highest level judges. We don't have judges to put to death, but you have the higher level judges? It's not mistabir. He quotes from Rabbeinu David, one of the other Rishonim, that perhaps the interpretation over here is the true people, the true source of punishment over here is the kingdom, is the monarchy at this time period. We're not actually in control. And the monarchy passed on the ability to the rabbis to make the decision, and they in turn decided, okay, we're going to poke out his eyes. So it's not coming midin Torah, ironically, this punishment. It's coming midin Romai. That's what Rabbeinu David suggests. Rashi has two other interpretations. He says, V'yesh omrim yitlu mamono v'yitnu la'yorshin. Alternatively, it doesn't mean actually poke out his eyes. It means take his money away and give it to the descendants of the person who died. It's like poking out your eye. You lost your money. Lastly, says Rashi, V'yesh omrim shamta. Maybe over here what you're going to do to him is excommunicate him, which always is a power of the community leadership to excommunicate him. Says Rashi, V'rishon ikar. He really thinks the explanation, simple interpretation, actually blinding him. Okay, back to the story. So here we are, Resh Galuta, turning to Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, and he says, go look into this Bar Hama. If you actually killed Vadai, do X to him. Well, we're going to translate X, blind him. Okay.
Resh Galuta is not a Beit Din. He's just the head of the
community. He's the authority.
He has the authority
to turn to the rabbis and tell them, this is what I think you should be doing. He's giving instructions. That's right. He's not ruling. Rav Abba Bar Yaakov is ruling. Atu Teresa Hadeh, Asidu Be De Vadai Katal. Two witnesses arrive and they say Bar Hama certainly killed. We saw it, no question. Azal Ihu, Bar Hama goes, he walks, he brings Teresa Hadeh. He brings his own two witnesses. What are they coming to testify about? Asidu Behad Mehanach. And they're now, these two witnesses separately are testifying about one of the two witnesses against Bar Hama. I'm sorry, it's getting a little confusing here, but not too confusing. Here's Bar Hama, the alleged murderer. Two witnesses say, you murdered. Now I, or Bar Hama, come and bring two witnesses against one of these two witnesses. And we're going to try to invalidate that one of the two witnesses that are on Bar Hama over here. Who? What do they say? Had amar kamid kamay didi ganav kabad dehushla. One of these two invalidating witnesses to the first set of witnesses, one of them says, in front of kamay, in front of didi, me, ganav kabad dehushla. Kava is a measurement. Hushla, Rashi says, are kilufim, means what? Peeled se'orim, peeled barley. Okay, so he stole something, shredded barley, even better. Good. V'hadamar kamay didi ganav kata de bortaya. And the other one says, in front of me he stole, says Rashi, bet yad shel romach, the handle of a sword, of a spear. So on one of these two initial witnesses against the person that he murdered, we have two further witnesses saying that he stole. One says he stole X, the other one says he stole Y. They'll come together to invalidate, it sounds like, this individual. Ah, listen to the circumstance. They are looking to invalidate him on grounds of Mamonot. He's testifying about a matter of Nefashot. Okay, so now Bar Hama thinks he handled it, though. He invalidated them. Says Rav Abba, who's presiding over this case, Bar Chama, you think you won this case? You think you knocked him out? Amar le, my da'atech. What's your thinking over here? What's your rationale? Kirbi Meir, you're following Rabbi Meir, who said even from Dine Mamonot, you're invalidated for Dine Nefashot. That's what you think? Rabbi Meir, Verbi Yoseh, Semi Halacha, Kirbi Yoseh, Verbi Yoseh Ha'amar, Huzam B'Dine Mamonot, Kasher L'Dine Nefashot. It says you got your law system wrong. It's very nice what you did, but we don't follow Rabbi Meir, we follow Rabbi Yoseh. It's similar to what we had transpiring before. Of course, the final line over here will be finding something that tells us over here it's an exceptional case and we follow not Rabbi Meir but Rabbi Yosef, not Rabbi Yosef but Rabbi Meir. Amar le Rav Pape hanemi le hechad la satam lantana kirbi Meir hacha satam lantana kirbi Meir. Rav Pape comes to the save of Bar Chama and he says, listen, Rav Abba, the court judges and so forth, I understand what you're saying. Generally speaking, 99% of the time, the system works exactly as you said. Rabbi Yosef versus Rabbi Meir, halacha k'Rabbi Yosef. However, there are exceptional cases. An exceptional case would be if I can bring you evidence that the halacha in this circumstance is like Rabbi Meir. How would I find that? I find a stam mishnah. I find a mishnah in which Rabbi Meir's opinion is mentioned without listing his name. That tells you we follow this opinion. Okay, so they turn to him now and they say, Rav Pape, you're trying to save the life here. P.S., at the end of the sugya, right before the Mishnah, he saves his life. He finds the Stam Mishnah, and that's why we're posek like Abaye. And this Bar Chama commits himself to paying the taxes of Rav Pape the rest of his life. He saved my life. I'm going to pay your taxes the rest of your life. Which, of course, raises the question of shohad, bribery. At the least, it looks like that. He didn't know it was coming. He didn't know. Yeah, it's called Tobatana. It's asur in the context of Dayanut. You know, if I'm ever involved, I won't be. If I'm ever involved in your court case, don't pay me anything. I don't want anything coming from you. It's going to make it look bad at the very best and asur at the very worst. Says the Gemara over here, okay, but first and foremost, Mimai, where'd you find the Stam Mishnah? Where's your Stam Mishnah that halacha is like Rabbi Meir over here? Again, what is Rabbi Meir's opinion? Midavar kal ledavar hamur is not invalid. Is invalidated. It says the Gemara. In other words, it's invalidated. He can't testify. Ilema, maybe it's from ilema. It's a compound word. Im tomar mehaditnan from the following Mishnah. If we start off the sentence by saying, if you'll tell me, we know the punchline's going to be, this is not our ultimate one, right? If you'll tell me, it's from here. What's this one, though? It's a Mishnah in Masechet Nida. It says, kol hara'u okay, fair enough. Any person who is kosher to testify in dinei nefashot, in matters of life and death, is kosher to judge as well in dinei mamonot. We equate judging and witnessing, right, and testifying. They're equivalent in our eyes. Let me understand that again. Any person who could testify in dinei nefashot could judge in dinei nefashot can judge in dinei mamonot. Is that really so? Would Rabbi Yosef say that's true? Rabbi Yosef told me I could be invalidated in dinei mamonot, but I'm not invalidated for dinei nefashot, right? If I was found to falsely testify in the context of financial matters, I can still judge or testify in a life and death circumstance. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. Is this following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef? Certainly not. Rabbi Yosef would say, if you're standing up there in dinei nefashot, it doesn't mean that you could testify in dinei mamonot.
But if this you're kosher for nefashot, why wouldn't you be kosher for mamonot, according to Rabbi Yosef?
He told us this already. You have knocked yourself out in the context of dinei mamonot, but it doesn't carry over to dinei nefashot. If you're kosher in dinei nefashot, not unkosher. You're found unkosher on the lower level. It doesn't knock you out on the higher level.
Oh, so you're saying he found them.
What does it say? Okay. What does it say over here? It says, if you're kosher for nefashot, you're kosher for mamonot. That's what it says. It means I walk into the court and I look at this judge. He's judging, he's presiding over a dinei nefashot case. I say, excuse me, sir, I have a financial dispute. Can you judge over that? Is the answer always yes, according to the BOC?
Correct.
No.
Why not?
Because he can be invalidated for dinei mamonot.
But that's opposite.
But Rabbi, it's the opposite thinking.
It's opposite thinking. You're saying if he's invalidated for mamonot, then he's invalidated for nefashot.
Rabbi Yosef didn't tell us that. Rabbi Yosef told us quite the opposite.
Rabbi Yosef says if he's invalidated for mamonot,
for nefashot, he's invalidated for mamonot.
But if he's kasher for nefashot, why wouldn't he kasher for mamonot?
Because
I like the way you're saying it because it makes it more confusing. Let's say it less confusing.
Come on, guys.
Let's say it less confusing. If you're invalidated for mamonot, does it make you invalidated for nefashot?
According to who? Rabbi Yosef.
According to Rabbi Yosef.
You can, if you're invalidated for mamon, You could testify for nefashot.
Very nice. Very nice. No, stop for a second. Stop for a second. That fellow, it's me. All right. I'm invalidated for mamonot, but I'm kosher for nefashot. Harari, yeah? You walk in, these guys, and there's a dinei nefashot case, and I'm the judge. And he said, Rabbi, I didn't know you could judge. Fantastic. Come for me. Do my dinei mamonot case. Am I kosher to do your dinei mamonot case?
I can't see why not.
You just told me I'm invalidated a minute ago. I'll put the recording for you. I'll put the recording just a second ago. You told me I was invalidated.
You're going from humrah kula, kula humrah, right?
But you're in the wrong direction. Anyway, says the Gemara, maneh, whose opinion, we'll talk about this afterwards. Maneh, whose opinion would be following? Ilema Rabbi Yosef, if you're to tell me Rabbi Yosef would be the author of this Mishnah, can't be. Ha'ika edzomim de mamon. In a circumstance where he's found to be invalidated, he's found to be a false witness in dinei mamonot, kasher li dinei nefashot, pasul li dinei mamonot. He's an individual who is kosher in the dinei nefashot, but not for dinei mamonot. Elalav Rabbi Meir. Rather, it must be this Mishnah is our Sitam Mishnah. It's following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. That's it. Rabbi Meir invalidates everything. Abaye wins. Bar Hama gets to go home and sleep in his bed tonight. Everything's good. Says the Gemara. We'll end with this deflection. Mimai Dilma Bipsule Yuhasin. The suggestion of the Gemara is, no, you were assuming that Mishnah was talking about where the person might be invalidated because of an impropriety, because of something he did wrong. In other words, he stole his whatever. Instead, says the Gemara, that Mishnah might instead be dealing with yuhasin. Yuhasin means pedigree, means your relationship to others. What does that mean, relationship to others? Are you a ger? Are you a mamzer? Are you someone who was born into a relationship or a circumstance, and it just has to do with who you are? That's what we call yichus or yihosin. And in turn, in that circumstance, it's much harder to kosher you for dinei nefashot. The Gemara later on, Rashi cites it, will tell us for dinei nefashot, you had to have higher pedigree, inborn status, like kohanim in the Torah to be kosher. You had to have an inborn status in order to be kosher. For dinei nefashot, you have to have a higher level, yihosin. As a result, if I walk into a court and that guy's standing up on the pedestal as a judge in dinei nefashot, it means, all things aside, not looking into his history, from Yuhasin's standpoint, we have to look at two things when we evaluate the person. A, improprieties, actions, and B, pedigree. Now, improprieties, leave that out of the equation for now. All I want to know about is his pedigree. If he was kosher for a dinei nefashot, he certainly was kosher for a dinei mamonot case as well. Who could even agree to that? Rabbi Yosef. And as a result, we didn't find a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, because this one might be Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef agrees in the context of Yuhasin that Nefashot will spill over into Mamonot. We're stuck still. I told you the punchline is going to be that we found the Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Meir. We'll have to see it next week. Baruch Adonai L'Olam.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.